Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Meat.
BT.
Happy 70s day. What's your favorite 70s memory, Meat?
All of them, actually.
You love them all. I celebrate the entire catalog.
The entire thing, yeah. It's too many good ones to pick
there
just one, you know?
There are a lot of good ones. What year were you born?
1990.
See, I was 82. Ronj?
77. I was
the year
born
Elvis
in this
died.
Decade.
Huh?
That's the year that Elvis died.
Is that
it
true?
Is. Yeah. I think actually.
How do you know that?
I just looked it up for the 4 o'clock fight earlier.
I think it was right around my birthday, too.
Spoiler. Hey, Meat, what are we fighting over today?
We've got some Cardinal tickets. On Saturday, July 27th, the Cardinals host the Astros, and that night, 30,000 fans, 16 and older, we'll receive a replica 2004 National League Champions Mystery Player Ring. It's courtesy of Edward Jones. You can get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
Love that. All right, let's bring in today's fighter. It's Mark. Mark, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, PT? Good, thanks.
All right, you ready to take on Megamind today?
Absolutely.
Good. Let's do this. You know, it's 70s day, all right? It's flashback week, so probably going to be a couple of 70s questions, like all of them. Question number one, Mark. What was the number one grossing film in the 1970s with $775 million earned? Was it Star Wars, The Godfather, or Jaws? I didn't know you had all these. I'm sorry, Jaws.
Let's go with Star Wars, 1977.
Question number two.
Wait, no, just if you told me you'd have had these, this would have been great.
Mike, just go ahead and go with it. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just roll that for the whole time, actually.
You're not going to like this question. In the 1970s, the Reds had 6 NL MVP winners. Besides Johnny Bench, who was the only Reds player to win 2 MVP awards in that decade? Was it Joe Morgan, George Foster, or Pete Rose?
Let's go with Joe Morgan.
Question number three, Mark. Who did Muhammad Ali beat in the Thriller in Manila in 1975? Was it George Foreman, Leon Spinks, or Joe Frazier?
Silent George.
All right, and question number four. Before he quote-unquote made it, which rock star was caught climbing the fence into Elvis's Graceland compound in 1976? Was that artist Bruce Springsteen, David Bowie, or John Lennon?
Wow. Let's say David Bowie.
All right, let's bring in Randy. Mark, how we feeling here?
Man, I feel great. The Blues won the Stanley Cup.
That's awesome. See, and I don't know if you got a chance to listen over the weekend, but on Thursday and Friday, we aired all of the clinching games. Did you listen to any?
I did listen. I actually heard every game except for the Winnipeg games.
Yeah, we were talking about it in the office, and there were people who had said they stayed in their cars. They were out and about doing business. They stayed in their cars, though, so they could hear a particular play or particular goal. That was a really cool thing that I think we did over the weekend.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was good because I would listen to the radio the first or second period and then watch it at home just the way it laid out at work.
Yeah.
And I got to listen to the final calls of each game. It was really cool.
Heck
I'll tell you what, it's not getting old.
Thank you.
No. It is not getting old.
No, it's not at all. Hey, Randy, say hi to Mark.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
What's up, Randy?
It's all good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
Well, Randy, as you know, it is flashback week
here
at 101 ESPN, and today is 70s day, so hence there's your theme for the 4 o'clock fight,
Randy.
You're going to have some 70s questions.
I remember the 70s.
Oh, good. Question number one, Randy. What was the number one grossing film in the 1970s with $775 million earned?
I don't think much has changed in 40 years. I think if I have to guess, I'm going to go Star Wars, gotta have Star Wars.
Nothing
near those
Star
Wars. Yeah, I'll go with Star Wars.
Question two. In the 1970s, the Reds had six NL MVP winners.
Six of them.
Aside from Johnny Bench, who was the only one of them to win two MVP awards in that decade?
I believe Joe Morgan won back-to-back in 75 and 76. I'll go with Joe Morgan.
Question number three, Randy. Who did Muhammad Ali beat in the Thrilla in Manila in 1975?
I think that was George Foreman.
And question number four, Randy. Before he quote-unquote made it, which rock star was caught climbing the fence into Elvis's Graceland compound in 1976?
I'll do the old lifeline here.
All right. You've got Bruce Springsteen, David Bowie, or John Lennon?
John Lennon died in 71, so probably wasn't him.
Not a strong climber.
And Bowie had already made it by 76, so I will go with I'll go with the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
We've got a winner. Mark, I'm sorry he got you, man. The number one grossing film in the 70s was, in fact, was Gotta Have Star Wars. A lot of money there. Number one grossing film. It is, in fact, Joe Morgan, who won two MVPs in that decade, 75 and 76, to go alongside Johnny Bench. It is Joe Frazier that Muhammad Ali beat in the Thrilla in Manila in 1975. And Bruce Springsteen, he was definitely the one that was caught climbing over the fence into Graceland. So thanks for playing, Mark. Try again, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Randy,
yes, sir.
Just so you know, we want to be accurate here, but John Lennon died in 1981, not 71.
Oh, that's right. Monday Night Football started in 70.
So yeah. Still
81,
dead.
That's right.
Yeah. So there were.
He'd already made
so
it
he,
by
he had made,
76.
Yeah, he had long made it before then.
Okay.
I mean, that would just been a bad trip if he was jumping over that fence.
That's
you know?
How did he get to Memphis?
Yeah.
By airplane, I would think.
Maybe.
Unless he had fear of flying, I'm not sure.
I don't think he did.
I think that he flew a lot in the Beatles.
Yeah, he did.
You know, they only toured for 4 years.
Is that right? Is that correct?
And one of their stops was right here in St. Louis.
Yeah, Bush Stadium in the 60s.
If you get a chance to see the movie Yesterday, it's pretty good. About a guy who falls off his bike and everybody, the world forgets that the Beatles existed. It's good. You'll like it. Congratulations. We mentioned the U.S. Women's National Team, St. Louis's own Becky Sauerbrunn from Ledoux.
She's tough, man.
Might be the best central defender in the whole world.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she was great.
She had the blood streaming down her face. She's like, hey, is anybody going to blow that whistle, or what are we going to do here? Bandage it up, right back out there.
Back at it. The U.S. Women's National Team has now won two World Cups after send-off matches at Bush versus New Zealand, and in front of crowds that in some cases were bigger than what the Women's World Cup had. And so congratulations to all of them. And well done, St. Louis and the Cardinals, Vicky Bryant and Bill DeWitt III and Bill Finley, the grounds crew. They did a great job of hosting that team before they took off on their World Cup tour. By the way, Dan Flynn from SLU High and St. Louis U is the CEO of U.S. Soccer. He's retiring in the coming months, so he leaves with a Women's World Cup victory. And one other note, our friends at Fleischmann Hillard are the international PR agency for U.S. soccer, and it's the agency of record, and they represent both the men's and women's programs, and they're going to be a big part of the parade that they're going to have, a ticker tape parade in New York. So
beautiful.
Congratulations to them. Coming up next in the fast lane, the Cardinals were meh during the time leading up to the All-Star break. Well, why should we expect anything different the rest of the way? That's next on 101 ESPN. The Cardinals enter the All-Star break only two games behind in the National League Central. That is a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's a fortuitous thing, but a great thing nonetheless.
Yeah. The Cubs are leading the way now with a record of 47-43. The Brewers are a half game behind, and the Cardinals are only two games back, but they are 44-44. I know that Tony La Russa wouldn't be happy with 500. He always talked about plus 5, plus 10, plus 20. And I look at this team with a 500 record, and guys, you know this as well as or better than I do. Sometimes there are different degrees of 500. Sometimes you can be a 500 team and say, okay, this team has taken its best shot, and they're going to be fine for the second half of the season. I look at the Cardinals with their run differential being basically even. They're at plus two with their struggles on the road at 20-26, with their inability to hit consistently. 25 games now where they've scored two or fewer runs. And I don't see, and I hope it changes, I just don't see them going on a tear here. Just think about trying to get to 90 wins, how prohibitive that is now.
Well, it's going
to
be an uphill battle, yeah, for sure. But once again, the fortunate part of it is that you're only two games back within the division. And honestly, for me, I look at it a little bit different. I think that if you were going to sit here at 500, I think I'd rather have it this way than a team that I've looked at and say, man, like they're just playing some good baseball, but they're at 500.
Yeah. Oh,
I'd
yeah.
rather look at it this way, where it's like they played like crap and they're at 500. Because offensively, they've been bad. They've got one starting pitcher that has an ERA in the threes. That starting pitcher is Dakota Hudson, mm-hmm. who everybody else is in the fours, a lot of them in the high fours. So that hasn't come around. Their bullpen has been good, even though they've lost Hicks. Those guys have been getting the job done. But there has been a lot to be desired in the first half that we haven't seen yet. And I know it is pretty crazy to believe that I don't believe that you were going to come in Friday and be like, oh, look, a different team. These guys are just crushing the baseball and everything is good. But I know that offensively this team, I don't know they will be better because we won't know until we see it. I know they should be better. And to me, that's where my hope lies in, all right, well, you didn't play up to what you were supposed to be. You've got an opportunity now in the second half where in other years or other divisions this year, you would have been buried. What are you going to do with said opportunity?
I think that is absolutely true. I guess what concerns me about this particular team and this particular division is you can make the same arguments. And the argument we're making is the Cardinals haven't played up to their capabilities. You could say the exact same thing about the Cubs. You could say the same thing about the Brewers, too, I think. The Pirates and Reds, I know they're dangerous, and I know they can be a problem. I'm just not worried about them in the long term. I don't think by the end of the year they're going to be at the top of the division. But it's the other two teams who have their own issues and will probably make moves before the trade deadline. It's them also picking it up. Like, we're expecting the Cardinals offense to pick it up. I expect the Cubs to get better too, and I expect the Brewers to get better. If those two teams don't and the Cardinals do what we're talking about here, then yeah, the Cards are in great shape, but you're assuming the other two teams they have to deal with are not going to, or they are going to stay right where they are right now.
I do find the Reds to be scary because Derek Johnson went over there as their pitching coach. They added to their staff. They've got the third best ERA in the league, both starting and relieving. The third best starters ERA, third best relievers ERA, third best overall ERA. They haven't had Scooter Gennett until the last week. If he hits like he has in the past, they've got their center field situation figured out now with Senzel after it didn't work with Kemp and it didn't work with Schebler. And they've got guys that can hit. I think that they do pose a threat. I don't know if they're going to be awesome in the second half, but I think they pose a threat. Here's the one that gets me, though. Since Madden got to Chicago, here are the second half records for the Cubs. 50-25, 50-23, 49-25, and 40-30. Much like Tony La Russa, Madden sets his team up to go on a run in the second half of the season. And I have no reason to believe, barring injuries to their starting rotation, that they won't do it again.
See, to me, the Cubs feel a little bit different this year. While I do believe that they're the most talented group out of everybody in the Central, things have been bad over there, so they're going to have to figure out a lot of things quickly. Now, same thing with the Cardinals. Things haven't been great. I just don't see them rattling off a run like that. For me, I see the first half, and God willing, it looks a little bit better than this half, at least for the Cardinals. I see it looking a lot like this. It's going to be an up and down battle. It's going to be a fight. We were joking about it over the weekend on the pregame show, how we all tabbed the Central to be just a knockdown, drag out fight. It's been more of slap boxing than anything else. It's been back and forth. You take it. No, you. I think that's what it's going to look like in the second half.
Now, I could absolutely see that happening, where all of the teams we're talking about, and I'm still excluding the Reds from this, and Randy, you could ultimately be right that they finish ahead of one of the teams we're talking about. Maybe they finish in third place this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think they finish in second or higher, but you're right about them being dangerous ultimately. But for the three teams that I'm focusing on, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Cardinals, I think the other two are just as likely to go on a run as the Cardinals are, or this all stays the same, you know, where they just continue to have trouble throughout the remainder of the year. The division stays close. All three of the teams are within 3-4 games of the division lead throughout the remainder mm-hmm. of the season. That could happen. I don't like my chances of that happening, but it certainly could. I think it's more likely that happens than the Cardinals just take off and the other two teams don't.
What I would like to see for the Cardinals, and I don't know if this is something that changes during a season. Mike Schilt talked before the road trip about how they were hitting and running and they were stealing bases. Cardinals have the second fewest sacrifice flies in the National League. They don't get their bat on the ball a lot with runners in scoring position. They have the second lowest slugging percentage with runners on base, and they just don't hit with runners in scoring position. That's the big one for me. If they can take advantage of the fact that they're stealing bases and hitting and running successfully and get some of those runners from scoring position home, changes everything.
Yeah, well, look at the game yesterday. I believe they were 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position, but every time they got somebody on, they ran them. They were trying to get them to second mm-hmm. base, and more times than not, they've been very successful with that. But you're right. What doesn't follow that with less than two outs is the ground ball on the right side and the fly ball, the sack fly to get him in, or the double to change places. Like, those things haven't happened. I do believe that that gets better in the second half, but to expect it to be a complete 180 is probably a fool's errand.
Right now, the Cardinals are 14th in OPS and 12th in batting average with runners in scoring position. You can just get to the middle of the pack.
That would be nice.
Well, they're about middle of the pack in terms of just the batting average alone, yeah. Which isn't it's not a great indication, but they're not even really hitting well with nobody on base.
Right.
So part of the problem is you gotta get guys on base in order to have the opportunity to drive them in. They haven't been good when they have had the opportunities, but they haven't given themselves enough of it over the course of the year. So I know Paul Goldschmidt, if he starts to hit, and if Carpenter, when he returns, he kind of goes back to what he usually does, that does change a lot. But these are big ifs, maybe.
And if Goldschmidt, and I thought he picked it up down the stretch here the first half, Goldschmidt and Ozuna, and obviously Ozuna's hand is a big if, but if you get those guys hitting well together, that can change things too. I've just seen 88 games with this, and that's why I kind of think we're looking at an 81-81 team. A team that can pitch that just can't hit very well right now.
Can they pitch?
No.
Seriously. Not like a serious question. Well,
I think they're average.
Yeah. I think they need a starter bad.
I agree with that.
Absolutely, yeah. Agree with that.
Their numbers are right in the middle of the pack. They're average.
Yeah.
And so, but what's hurting them, what has them at .500 is well below average offense.
Yeah,
but I'm
totally
with you.
Agree.
A front of the rotation guy. And I'm not talking about a number five starter. A top two starter would make a world of difference for this team.
And I guess an issue that you run into while you're looking for one of those guys is everybody else is looking for one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And teams that are way closer to, or at least standings-wise, to winning a championship than you are, who might be willing to sacrifice a little bit more mm-hmm. than you will at a run at a chance, as opposed to like a legit belief that they... You know, that's the missing link.
That's it. So what do the Cardinals think they are?
I don't know.
I mean, do they think they're good enough? Right. I mean, do they think they're good enough to make that commitment to somebody?
And the Cubs need starting pitching. The Yankees need starting pitching. The Brewers need starting pitching.
Boston could use another one.
They sure could.
Even LA, who's been on
right.
top. Like, you got a lot of teams that are going to be in the mix.
Yeah, with a lot of teams with a lot of prospects. And Atlanta is still, even though they got Keuchel, they're still looking for front of the rotation guy. They'd like to get Bumgarner too.
Which poses an even greater concern for me is if the Cardinals stay as is, I don't see them making a run. I think the only way they make a run is if they get some help. but getting help is going to be a problem for them unless it's relief help. But that's not even really the thing they need the most.
Frustrating. We hope this would be the year, and hopefully Mo and Gersh will be able to figure it out. Yeah.
Hey, time is on our side.
Hey, the Blues weren't even at 500 at this point, were they?
No.
That means the Cardinals have to change goaltenders.
Yeah, let's do that.
And coach.
No, it's too early for that.
Well, I mean,
we've already tried that once.
That doesn't work.
It's flashback week here at 101 ESPN, and we decided it would be a great chance to show off our singing chops. The Fast Lane 70 Karaoke Challenge is next on 101 ESPN. Young man. I said, young man.
All right, Randy, I want to know, what is this song, what memory does this song bring back to you? Is there an event?
Oh,
is
firefighters there... and police
sailors?
Officers, sailors, yeah. Remember seeing them. I was a kid. I didn't know.
Okay. I didn't know what was going on. That was cool. I was having a good old time.
The funny thing is, this actually just reminds me of the YMCA.
Yeah.
I heard it, you know, going there as a kid.
Yeah. This reminds me of, like, the roller skating rinks growing up.
Oh, yeah.
We can do the YMCA. And we got the chicken dance coming up.
Later on, we want to hear from you with your favorite 70s song. You can use the mic drop feature with the 101 ESPN app. But you get to hear us first. Big Sizz has put this together.
Okay, so we've done some similar things.
Yeah,
we got the mic on. We've done similar things to this in the past. You guys had to guess the lyrics, but... For this time, I asked you guys for your favorite songs. So these are songs you know, songs that you're hopefully good at. We want the listeners to be involved as well. Go to our Twitter page, at 101 ESPN Fastlane. You can vote on these three fellas and tell us who the best 70s singer is.
Love it.
So you each will have two songs. Randy, you will be first. Here we go.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, just the cold dark night, and when everything's a little clear in the night of day, then we're gonna say it doesn't matter really anyway. Rubbing six and so together, raising sparks at night, and the view is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight, boo! Afternoon delight, afternoon delight.
That was way longer than I expected.
That was way too much.
That was good, Randy.
We got it going.
Yeah, that is one of Randy's jams.
Don't forget, you can vote on Twitter at 101
ESPN. And wait, we want people to send in their own, right?
Yeah, people, mic drops? Let us know what your favorite 70s song is. Send us a mic drop, but you
gotta
have to sing it.
Yes.
Don't tell us, you've got to sing it. Ranji, are you ready?
I guess.
Let's do it.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
I can't do it in falsetto.
Yes, you can.
Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe. Ooh. I don't know the rest. Oh, where are we at?
Is this about a stalker?
This song
that just hit me
maybe
right in the feels.
She's in my apartment. I didn't invite her.
Oh, yeah, it is about a stalker. I talked about this last week. I thought it was just a nice feel-good song.
Yes.
It's a nice feel-good I'm behind your couch song.
I came to see you. You'll return my text?
I'm supposed to have a doorman to stop things like this.
She said you were in trouble.
She brought a bag of goodies.
Total hypothetical.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen.
Ranj, that was amazing. Thank you for that.
Yeah, cool, man.
That's great. Make sure you vote. 101 ESPN Fastlane on Twitter. BT, let's do it.
All right.
I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo, 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 Figaro Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me. He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity. Easy come, easy go. Will you let me go? Bismillah. No, we will not let him go.
I'm off now. Oh, like quite a bit.
Nailed it.
It felt good.
I'm not going to be able to pick this back up.
We've lost it.
No.
I forgot where we were.
Guys, that was a solid first round. Everybody feeling good?
Not really.
I know the listeners are
really embarrassed. We're pretty good with the harmony.
You guys are fantastic.
Randy, don't you think?
We should do some barber shop quartet stuff.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We should do.
Yeah. All right, how about one more round? It can only go up from here.
I'm ready.
Yeah, well,
let's
apparently you're excited.
Friends, tonight, last dance, last chance for love. Yes, it's my last chance for romance tonight. I need you by me, beside me, to guide me, to hold me, to scold me, 'cause when I'm bad, I'm so, so bad. So let's dance this last dance. Let's dance this last chance tonight.
That was really good,
yes,
Randy.
Not my bad, man.
You're a bad man, is what you are.
I like it.
Oh, thanks.
That was phenomenal.
Little Donna Summers.
Dead
really
or alive?
Good.
Dead. Oh. Good. There's a play on Broadway called Summer. It's about her life story.
Oh. Did they ever death in it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Randy, I watched spoiler your alert. Votes just soar through the ceiling on that one.
Oh, yeah.
They're up there.
I used to get dressed up with the 4-inch heels and the tight skirt and sing Donna Summers songs.
Oh, no, I think that's something horses by Garvey. I think that's what that one is. Goodbye, horses.
Okay, Ron.
All right,
I thought you had a pretty solid first song. You need to do some work, right, according to the Twitter poll.
Yeah,
here we go. Round two.
Oh, man. He plays a blues card.
Mm-hmm. Country road. Take me home to the place I belong. Eastern Missouri, Mountain Mama, we have no mountains. Take me home, country road.
Voice of an angel.
You're supposed to help me with that.
Yeah. Everybody in their car
is.
Everybody's
singing that song.
Yeah, the whole building. For some reason, we're doing West Virginia. But whatever, it's fun.
Must not be a game on tonight.
All right, and you can vote 101 at our Twitter page, 101 ESPN Fastlane.
And as we stand right now, tied up are Randy and BT.
Oh, come on, vote for Randy.
Here we go, BT, last your last chance.
I'm gonna have to put something into
last
this.
Last chance.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock, I should have made you leave your key, but I'm off again. And it's back to bother me. Go on now, walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. That's all I got.
I think that's a winner. I gotta get on
the beat.
I would
enough.
Vote
better.
For you. That
know,
was
I
pretty
wouldn't.
Awesome.
I wouldn't.
You had the dance moves to go along with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, I had to. If you're gonna sing something, you might as well be feeling it too. It's in the hips, gentlemen. I was stirring the coffee a little bit. Stirring the coffee.
It was good.
So our voting will end about 5:30, and we will hear from the listeners coming up in just a little bit at 5:15 on their favorite song. So we will have the results then.
Oh, great.
Good job, fellas.
Oh, thank you. That was
we're very happy that it's over.
You guys were amazing.
Are we doing this every day, or is it just 70s day?
Yeah.
I don't know. And once we get to the 90s, I've got problems. Hey, next up in the fast lane, an aggressive slide led to a concussion for Jonathan Lucroy, and it ticked off Yadi Molina. That's next on 101 ESPN.
Jeez.
70s day, maybe.
My God.
I don't know when this song was. Had to be 70s. Perfect.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Well, Angels catcher Jonathan Lucroy told ESPN in a text message that he has a concussion and a broken nose in that collision at home plate with Jake Mariznick yesterday. Kevin Wheeler made the point today, and I agree with him.
if he was, if Mariznick was an NFL defensive back, that would be a defenseless receiver that he hit, and he'd get suspended. That was an unnecessary hit in today's day and age. Back in the 80s, back in the 70s that we're talking about, that was cool. But that's not cool anymore.
Well, you just can't do it anymore. I mean, it's the letter of the law, and obviously that run was taken off the board because of the contact that was there. My one thing when I was watching this one initially, and the first shot of it I took, and I think that Jake Mariznick kind of explained what he saw as he was going through this as well. Like, when you see Lucroy getting ready to catch the ball, it looks like he, like, shifts back a little bit, like he's going to take it and sweep a tag back. And then Mariznick, you know, goes to the inside, and obviously that's where Lucroy ended up staying. I'm just trying to put myself in that position if I was doing it real time, where I would have gone. Because that's what he said. Mariznick said that he saw him and he thought that the play was going to go towards the outside. Right. He decided that he was going to recorrect to the inside, and all hell broke loose because he just blew Lucroy up. I don't know what the intent was there, the true intent. I do know this, though, with the letter of the law currently, you can't get away with that. It just doesn't happen. One thing, and I'd like to hear your guys' opinion on this one. If the intent was fully to just blow him up, and we all know what the rules are now, you know what you can get away with, you know what you can't get away with, do you think that the Angels would have responded a little bit differently, like gone out there and tried to whoop his ass? Because that's kind of what I was thinking right off the bat. I'm like, oh, they're going to murder him. But nobody did. Maybe it was just because Lucroy was hurt.
I think it's because he immediately got up from the play and went right to Lucroy and kind of like, hey, man, are you okay?
Yeah.
He didn't just get up and run back to the dugout. I don't know what his intent was either. And it was going to be a difficult play either way. But what I mean, here's the thing about the game I'm not a huge fan of. And obviously there is a catcher here in town who's not a fan of it, which I know we'll get to in a moment. Mm-hmm. I don't really think there's a need to just blow the dude up. And I know there are going to be 1,000 people listening going, oh, you're soft. No, I mean, I'm not. It's that I don't think the game is better when you put a catcher in that kind of position who's just trying to make a play. He's making a play on the ball. You don't need to blow the dude up. Try to avoid him if you can.
And that's
really the bottom line
here. With the rules where they are, there is no expectation on the part of the catcher that he is going to get bowled over either.
Right.
So
he's not bracing himself
for
it.
No, he's not, like people did, catchers did in the past. Now, Yachty's Instagram blew up, and it says here,
I wouldn't read this verbatim. Right,
do not read directly like Ron Burgundy. So Yachty on Instagram says, bull blank, MLB needs to take action on this bull blank play. Blank, praying for Lucroy. Slide, slide, slide. Blank, blank you if you think this is okay. Blank you. Then somebody responded, nah, that old school baseball. Bring back the action. And Yachty says, blank you. Somebody says, blank no, that was a clean play. He was blocking home. And Yachty says, blank you.
And then he decided to be a little bit more, he was more descriptive. He just went with the middle finger emoji,
yeah, the emoji
the rest of the way. So every time somebody disagreed with him, he basically told them where to go, which I thought was kind of awesome.
Defending those catchers.
Yes, he was.
And Brad Ausmus, a former catcher, said it certainly didn't, and he's the Angels manager, by the way, says it didn't look like a clean play. I don't know what actually happened, but it looked like Mariznick took a step to the left and bowled into him with his arm up. The call was right. Really, I think Major League Baseball should probably take a look at it, consider some type of suspension, quite frankly. Go ahead, BT.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, anytime you're going to have a collision, you're going to put your arm up, right? Like, you're diving in initially, and then you see he's there. That's going to be your initial reaction, I would think, to come up. But I'm watching this now, like, over and over again on a loop. They don't look so good.
No,
it looks like he had way more room than it does in the initial moment. Well, certainly, if I'm Brad Ausmus, I'm pissed off, too.
Mm-hmm. See, okay, the way I looked at the play is if Lucroy is inside the baseline the entire time as he's running down the line, even if he's trying to overcorrect and come back inside, if he thinks the play is going to go outside, there's still no way in that amount of time Lucroy is going to totally vacate that area. So he knows there's going to be contact. He knows he's going to hit the dude. I don't know if he wanted to hurt him as bad as he did, but I do think he was trying to give him a pretty good shot.
There was a play between Jack Clark and Mike Socha back in 1985, I think it was, during that season. And it was basically the same play.
And I've told the story before. They took Socha back into the Dodgers locker room and asked him where he was. They're at Dodger Stadium. He says, Houston. And he was concussed, but that was an accepted part of the game. I think that's the biggest thing here. And I understand this. After Buster Posey was lost for the season when Cousins ran him down with the Marlins a few years ago, it basically became the Buster Posey rule, and you cannot bowl over a catcher. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, love or hate it.
No, and I'm as old school as anybody in regards to baseball, but you can't do that anymore.
Right, right. I'm with you. Look, if the rules were different, then great, it's a clean play. They're not. I'm going to be interested to see how Major League Baseball handles this. I mean, you would think that they would dole out some sort of a suspension for this just due to the fact that, I mean, whether you think it was a clean play or not, whether intent was there or not, it still kind of happened. And if you want things to not happen, that's kind of what you have to do, right? Yep. You have to give out a couple of games at least.
Yeah, and I think they have to enforce that. And whether you like it or not, this is going to be the rule moving forward. And this play doesn't happen a lot anyway, so it's not like it's not like you're going to watch baseball and just out of nowhere one day go, man, I really miss home plate collisions. I wish they happened a whole lot more. I think it's one of those things where if it's not in the game, you're just not going to realize it and move on from it. I'm a little surprised that some of the old schoolers who are still Ray Fossey, I had a conversation with him one time about it, and this was right as they changed the rule, and he hates it.
Really?
And I'm like, this is a dude who got his career ended because of an exhibition game. It ended because of it. He was never the same after that. And he was like, I don't like it. I don't like the idea of runners not being able to, you know, the plate is their right and they can't go for it. I'm surprised because that dude's career was never the same after that.
Well, the thing is now, though, with the catcher, like, you're supposed to give way. Like, it's supposed to be, all right, you're in front. And so
that's what Luke Roy was trying to do.
I mean, he was inside the line
a little bit. And then steps kind of a little bit back in. Either way, he got clocked. That's one thing where I try to think about this as a base runner, too. And not this play specifically, but these types of plays in general. Because you don't expect even if the ball is beating you, you don't expect a runner to just give himself up. And then as soon as the catch is made, I mean, the guy's there. So where are you going sometimes? You know, how are you supposed to handle that as a runner? Obviously not exactly this way, but I don't know. The sheer optics of it, while you hope that LaCroix is, you know, good to go and he gets back, I did have a for a second. The one that I miss more, honestly, is at second base. I miss contact
there.
Yeah,
me too.
And not even the contact. I miss the fear of contact because I miss watching good footwork. I miss guys that have to get rid of the ball quickly. I think we lose a lot right now as far as fundamentals go without having that sort of contact. I understand it, but I miss it.
With that and replay of keeping a tag on at second base after a...
That's the thing I wish would change the most.
MLB
at second.
Has just messed up second base altogether.
That is... I don't mind the no contact thing at second because I think it was getting out of hand with some players who would be an arm's length of the bag, but they're sliding with their feet, you know, 6 feet from the bag. Like, that's, come on, you don't need to do that. But I really hate the replays in which a guy beats the tag, he beats the throw, he comes off the bag for like half a second.
His momentum, he has no choice.
A tenth of a second even. And he's called out, we have to go through the whole replay situation. That is a thing I think we could live without.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and it's great to have confidence, but don't let that lead to foolishness. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.